It was a view to God's help. We shall use as our text today the words we have in verse 9 of Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 and verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Now, these are the very gracious words of the one who is altogether gracious, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they may appear at times to be just too good to be true, too simple, that prayer cannot be just as simple as that. But let's just try and have a look at this today in a context and just see and find out exactly what this verse means. This is a wonderful text of Scripture, and it is one that we should never lose sight of. But we have to be careful, really, in our understanding of this text, that we're not in any way trivializing prayer, being it as some kind of quick fix thing. Any problem, you just ask and it's going to be done. That is really not what this is about. And the answer to finding out what it really does mean is to look at the context. And that's always a good procedure, particularly in this instance. Now, he who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he says there, "I am the truth." And he doesn't speak anything but the truth. He doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't pretend. Because all these things are untruths. He is telling it as it is. Even in this situation, where he says these gracious words, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Now, taken in isolation, the words may convey a rather simplistic idea of prayer. Everything you ask for, even once, will be done. Problem is that it removes surely one of the most important things about prayer, and that is the labor of prayer. Prayer is a labor. We must not remove that from prayer. Prayer is not easy for us as sinful human beings. It requires effort, and it is a labor, and it involves so many other things. It involves emotion, and it involves struggle. And we must not miss out on these things with our view of prayer. We must not miss out on the fellowship that we have with God when we pray. And we must seek in our prayer life not just to come with our asks, coming with our requests, and certainly not with any idea of a quick fix, but that we come in order that in our prayer we might meet with God, that we might have fellowship with Him, that we might enjoy Him. Surely, these are things which are just fundamental to prayer. And whatever idea we have of prayer, it must not be against these things. Now, as with every other text of Scripture, we get the true picture by looking at the context as a whole. First thing that we realize here is that pray as Jesus prayed is something to be learned. Prayer as Jesus prayed is something to be learned. It's not something that is easy and natural to sinful human beings. It's not. And not only our own sin, our own indwelling sin and our own distractions, but Satan's got his paw in there. And I'm sure you all know this. You're not very long on your knees until he's in there, either distracting you or bringing thoughts. So, it is not natural. Now, this is clear from the reaction of the disciples to seeing Jesus pray. They saw him pray, and their reaction was not, "Oh, this is a great thing. Just ask and you shall receive." No. What they saw caused them to make this request. To make the request, "Teach us, Lord, teach us to pray." As John taught his disciples to pray, John the Baptist, he must have taught his disciples to pray. And here, they're just asking for that same thing. "Teach us to pray as God, as John taught his disciples to pray." So the thing is, here is that they obviously saw and heard much more than a simple ask and being given. Something far more than that. What did they say? What did they see? They saw labor. They saw passion. They saw struggle. Yes. In his humanity, he had to learn to pray. As the God-man, of course, as God the Son. He does not need that. But as the God-man, he needs to learn prayer. He has learned prayer. He learned these things. And the Bible clearly tells us that there was a learning in his development. So, what did they see? What was Jesus' answer? Jesus responds, secondly, with the words, "When ye pray, say." Now, right away here, the emphasis is on words. Say. That teaches us that prayer is not just getting you on our knees and thinking thoughts. Now, there are times I know when you get on your knees and you just can't find anything to say. Maybe your heart is so full that you can't find anything to say. Maybe your heart is so empty that you can't find anything to say. Jesus says, "When ye pray, say." It is words. Words are so important in a Christian life. He gave us the scripture in word. Give us the gospel in word. And the command is to us to preach the word. Preach what he has given us here in words. He gives them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Oh, it is soon clear from that prayer. That prayer involves more than just requests. Because there's an emphasis straight away in the Lord's Prayer on worship. And it begins with worship. And it's worship and an aspect of worship which perhaps we might sometimes pass over. This desire, this longing for what is nothing less than worldwide revival. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is it? It's nothing less than that God would just reinvigorate the whole world in a spiritual sense. Now, the requests are there, yes. Our daily bread. Prayer, it's difficult for us in this part of the world to be truly sincere because we live in a land of plenty. But there are many of our brethren who do not have these things, and they have, I know it's not an advantage, but in that way they have that advantage that when they pray this prayer, they mean it. Give us this day our daily bread. Let us never miss out on that opportunity. Whenever we say grace, that it should be a trigger for just a moment of worship. Not just going through the motions. We need in our lives, we need every trigger that we can have. And we should be placing triggers in our lives, setting things there, which when we do, when we pass, when we go to a certain place, that automatically we turn to prayer. Just simply saying, "Oh Lord." Sometimes that's all we can say. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Especially when we are overcome with the wickedness and the abominations of this world and this land in which we live. But here we have this very important thing of giving thanks for our daily bread. And then there's this forgiveness for ourselves, and also request for a forgiving spirit on our behalf, on our own behalf. And also, he is, let's say, a request for help in the spiritual battle. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the version, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew there is at the end of it something we don't have here, that it is there surely. Thy kingdom, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. There is worship. But basically, we have two things. We have worship and we have requests. And only one of all that is, of all the things he says in the Lord's Prayer, only one of them he comes back on. Now we cannot disregard that. A forgiving spirit. Do we need that in the church? We do. Do we need it in our own spiritual lives? We do. Do we need it for ourselves? We do. A forgiving spirit. As he forgave and forgives, so he gives us a pattern for himself to follow. Cannot be without greater significance that that is the only part of the Lord's Prayer that he comes back on. Question is, he majors on that. Question, do we major on it? This is a major thing, perhaps a major battle in our spiritual life. Is it this? Lord, help me to forgive. Give me a forgiving spirit. Let me have it all. Jesus seems to suggest that we should major on this particular thing. So, thirdly, let's ask the question, what is the prayer that is answered? Can we dig down into the bedrock of prayer that is answered? Well, we have it before us here in the parable. The friend at midnight, verses 5-8. Now, this is not only here, there are at least seven other plain references for the same thing. For this forgiving spirit. Seven references and many other references which are similar. Seven which are quite specific. What's the answer? Though he will not rise and give it because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistence, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. What then is the prayer that is answered? It is persistent prayer. Now, it's impossible to get away from the fact that in a number of places in the scripture, Jesus says this specifically or touches on it. The need for persistence. What is the prayer that is answered? It is the persistent prayer. Now, I know this very well. I'm sure you all know this very well. That there are times when we have found ourselves just maybe in a very busy situation, or life is busy, having to flash a prayer to heaven. Just out of need. Just a prayer of, oh Lord, help me in this situation. And very often the prayers answered. I'm sure you all experience that. But these are particular situations. But in the normal pattern of our prayer lives, the normal pattern of our spiritual lives, the prayer that is answered is the persistent prayer. Although he would not give because he was his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will give him as much as he needed, liberally. What is Jesus saying here? Is he suggesting that we are not his friend as we come to him in prayer? No. No, he is just making a point. Yes, sometimes a friend needs persuasion. But the emphasis here is not just on the prayer being answered because of its persistence, when it wouldn't have been answered just because he was a friend. There is generosity. The overflowing answer. The answer which is beyond our asking, beyond our thinking, beyond our imaginations. I think that even as a congregation, that's been our experience in these recent developments. God has helped us so much. God has enabled us to get to a stage where we never thought it possible. So let us face up to this rather daunting fact. And it is the persistent prayer that is answered. Now fourthly, let us turn to a text. It took me a long time to get there, but we're getting there. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It does not say, ask and you shall be given you, it shall be given you immediately. It doesn't say that. I tend to think it's like that. And it reads like that sometimes. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. But it doesn't say immediately, nor does it say next week, nor what does it say? Within 50 years, or 60 years, or 70 years, or 80 years. It doesn't say that. But persistent prayer is the prayer that is answered. May a person who prayed for their loved ones, parents, grandparents, many of them, that prayer was answered after they had passed on. There are many pray for children and grandchildren who are praying persistently and praying continually and it is just sheer dogged persistence, sheer dogged refusal to surrender, refusal to stop keeping going. That's what persistent prayer is. Promise is secure. Even although it may not be answered in our lives, we must pray to the end, not giving up, persisting and keeping going. The promise is secure. It is as secure as the Lord Himself is secure. Yes. And it is, ask and you shall receive. Not immediately, but it shall be answered in the persistent prayer. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Other times, it's the very opposite. It says in the word, before they call, I will answer. It also says, while you are yet speaking, the prayer is answered. It says 65:24. While you yet speak, I will hear. And sometimes before we ask, the Lord's gracious, He is kind, so keep asking, my friend. Yes, and I say, believer and unbeliever, keep asking. Maybe all could lay hold on this promise. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and shall be opened unto you. The Lord is kind, is gracious. So, keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And he will answer. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee for what thou art. We thank thee for thy grace and graciousness, for thy kindness, for thy patience, thy long suffering, and slowness to wrath. We ask thee that thou wilt impress these things upon us as we pray. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.